Man's own physical body is a masterpiece of design. The human hand is the finest example of engineering ever seen. The human brain is the most complex computer ever devised. The human eye is the most sensitive and amazing instrument possible of comprehension. It is possible that the one who designed man's body with such precision and plan should indeed have a plan for each man's life. What is truth? The tone of contempt was clear in the voice of Pontius Pilate as he responded to the words of Jesus, "Everyone who is of the truth heareth my voice." Having seen so much hypocrisy, deceit, and treachery, Pilate no longer trusted anyone. To him, truth was a pious phrase used to throw men off their guard so it would be easier to take advantage of them. I was reminded of Pilate's attitude when a high school student came to seek counsel. "What good would it do for me to try to take up a vocation?" he asked. "By the time I get trained for it, someone would blow us up with an atomic bomb or automation would put me out of business. So what's the use of going to college or trying to make anything out of yourself? What is there in the world for a fellow to really hold on to?" The young man's problem is typical of scores of thousands in our generation, adults as well as youth. The giant strides in scientific and material realms have far outstripped our moral capacity to control what we know. We are left with less real security than ever before. We are the wisest and most frightened generation in all the history of mankind. As one roadside philosopher has expressed it, we're sitting on a powder keg with a psychopathic nitwit who is playing with matches. Even the Holy Scripture speaks of times like this when men's hearts fail them for fear of the things that are coming upon the earth. All men feel something of this sense of frustration, but the young people seem to be most disturbed by it. So let us face the question, upon what foundation can a person safely build his life? There are three possible answers. Choose the one you think is most enduring. First, a man may base his life on material possessions. Now this is a widely accepted way of security for our generation. In choosing this foundation, however, one must remember the words of Jesus, "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Such a treasure is temporary, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Secondly, a man may base his life on intellectual attainments, but even this is not permanent. Outdated textbooks reveal how limited and partial is man's knowledge. He who would be an intellectual soon learns that of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. There will come a day when man's knowledge will vanish away, being swallowed up in the so much greater knowledge of God. Third, a man may base his life on the will of God. Here, at last, is security. 1 John 2:17 reads, "And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." The only thing which offers real permanence, security, and certainty is that which is settled and founded outside of time. All things of this present creation will grow old, be shaken, and pass away. But your search for certainty will end when you discover and obey God's will for your life. Such a statement presupposes this fact: God has a plan for your life. It is reasonable that God should have a plan for the life of each of His human creatures. The creation of which man is a part does not exist by accident. It came from somewhere and is going somewhere. There is an indication that purposeful action is going on in our universe. Intelligent planning is seen in nature. All purposive action by men is based upon a plan. We build a house according to a blueprint. A lady sews a dress according to a pattern. Children play games according to certain rules. Men do all purposive things according to a plan. So why should it be thought surprising that God is carrying on purposeful action today according to His divine purpose and plan? Nature reveals God, for the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. The plan and design in nature reveals that God is a great designer. He works by a plan. Each snowflake, leaf, and flower reveals design. The heavenly bodies move with such design and precision that we set our clocks by them and can predict with exact detail their positions and conjunctions in the distant future. Man's own physical body is a masterpiece of design. The human hand is the finest example of engineering ever seen. The human brain is the most complex computer ever devised. The human eye is the most sensitive and amazing instrument possible of comprehension. It is possible that the one who designed man's body with such precision and plan should indeed have a plan for each man's life. Man is the crown of creation. God has a plan for each life, yours as well as mine. Accept this fact with joy. It means you are precious to God. And accept it with reverence. It means you are responsible to God. You can know by personal experience that God has a plan for your life. Multitudes have found it, and so can you. Man's greatest fulfillment comes when he knows God's will in his life. God made man for himself. He laid out a design, a plan for each life. And no man will ever find life truly meaningful so long as he is outside God's plan. An ancient divine is quoted as having said, "O Lord, thou hast made us for thyself, and we can never find rest until we find it in thee." God has a moral nature. That is to say, he approves right and condemns wrong. He rewards righteousness and judges sin. He has set forth in the Bible certain principles to guide us in knowing right and wrong. To walk in the way of right, turning from the way of wrong, is to obey his will and to know his plan for your life. God's plan for your life is clear and detailed. You can know it when you abandon yourself to it. The Bible records the exploits of great men. But what made them great? They were great because they realized and entered into God's will. Examine the life story of Abraham. God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees in order that his descendants might become the nation which would produce the Christ. Abraham was great because, knowing God's will, he did it with all his might. Look at Moses. God spared his life as an infant in order to use him to deliver the nation of Israel from Egyptian bondage. Moses is remembered in history because he did God's will. Consider Jeremiah, the prophet. God informed him that before the prophet had been conceived or born, he had been chosen of God to be a prophet to the nations. How tragic it would have been if Jeremiah had missed God's will. He is remembered and honored today because he lived in the center of the divine purpose for him. Saul of Tarsus was a chosen vessel unto the Lord while he was still a rebel against the Christian way. Finding and following God's will for his life, he became the honored Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ. Each of these great men would have been forgotten and never recorded on the pages of history if each one had not found and followed God's will for his life. Now the same God who chose, called, and used them is dealing with you. You and I are the Paul, the Apollos, the Barnabas, the Timothy for this generation. Availability to the divine purpose will assure that your life will not be wasted, but will produce fruit of eternal consequence. You are admonished, therefore, in these solemn words to be found in Ephesians 5:17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. This is the way of blessing.